Hi, this is Trevor Settman, founder of the Story Project Diverse Voices and associate professor of communication here at the Community College of Baltimore County. Support for this project comes from the National Communication Association, the Community College of Baltimore County, and the Mellon Foundation, all proud sponsors of the Story Project Diverse Voices, a student faculty mentoring program leading to a podcast production of students' stories of diversity.
I was in elementary school when my mom started using a cane to walk. Her illness slowly stripped her of her physical ability, which left my brother and me responsible for all the household chores. My dad was also hit by a car before I was born, which left him with a permanent physical disability as well. With both parents having physical disabilities, we struggled a lot with money. I always had everything I needed, but I missed a lot of opportunities and ended up having chronic stress over finances at a young age that I still have now. My name's Kate Journey, and I'm a student at CCBC, and this is my story. I remember my dad and mom fighting a lot and never understanding why, but later I found out my dad had a bad drinking problem, and a lot of dots began to connect. I realized there were many times when my dad drove us drunk to school or would disappear for hours on end knowing my mom was unable to use stairs. I vividly remember a time I had to find my dad, and I found him in the basement hiding alcohol in the laundry room. He tried to play it off like he was just looking for something, so he never admitted or acknowledged I caught him in the act. When I was 20, my dad passed away a week before Christmas. He had been diagnosed with esophageal cancer, but no one anticipated for him to have complications with his chemo and radiation treatments, so his death was very unexpected. At the time, my mom was unable to walk or do much for herself, and after my dad's passing, her health deteriorated rapidly. 4 years after my dad passed away, my mom also died unexpectedly during a minimally invasive heart procedure to replace stents she had from a previous heart attack. I had driven her to this appointment and was waiting in the hospital since she was supposed to come home after the procedure. I was shocked. I felt numb and sick to my stomach when her doctor came out to tell me she passed away. They told me her heart was too weak and were unable to resuscitate her after many attempts. I had to tell my brother, aunt, and uncles the news. I was 24 at the time. I remember calling my brother and trying to convince him to come to the hospital and wait with me without telling him our mom had passed over the phone. I wasn't sure how he would handle the news, and I didn't want him under that distress while driving. Later that day, I had to drive my mom's accessible van back to our empty home. Before her passing, my mom was restricted to the first floor of our home and wasn't able to go out without help. I couldn't imagine the home without her in it, and seeing the empty medical and handicap items throughout the house was heartbreaking. The situation didn't seem real at first. Arriving home with family members without my mom was proof she was really gone. I was responsible for handling all the arrangements, payments, and debt. Later that year, my brother and I lost our family home to foreclosure. My grandparents had lived in that house, and my mom and dad started this family there, so we had many years of memories, which made having to pack up and leave extremely sad. Not only did I lose my parents, but I was also losing the comfort of having a place to always come home to. I had decades of belongings to sort through, sell, or put into storage, and for many years, I ended up paying thousands of dollars for a storage unit just to keep my family memorabilia. Because my parents passed away when I was young, I never really had time to process any of my childhood issues. There was a lot of tension within my family as a child, and many of these things paved the way for me to become a people pleaser, where I continuously put myself last. On top of that, I was never able to process both of my parents passing away suddenly only a few years apart. Instead, I spent time numbing with work, going out and drinking way more than normal, and shoving any emotion and feelings deep down inside of myself. I had trouble admitting there were internal and external factors impacting how I viewed and treated myself, because the thought of digging down into the depths was too painful and difficult for me to begin dealing with. Shortly after my mom died, I began dating a guy who ended up being emotionally abusive. Obviously, it didn't begin that way. He was helpful and supportive, but those good qualities shortly ended, and any time I was sad about my parents or my brother dealing with his own addiction issues, my boyfriend would tell me my sad life was making other people uncomfortable, or that I was making him sad by simply expressing my emotions. At the time, I just forced myself to try and make him feel better to diffuse conflict. All his comments and digs taught me to hide my feelings and to make sure everyone else came before myself. I was made to feel like a villain. I was told I was dramatic, crazy, or selfish for simply being depressed or anxious. It took me a while to realize this relationship was not healthy and that I deserved a lot more. Towards the end, there was a lot of lying and secrets of his that came out, which ultimately made it clear that I needed to end things. 3 years ago, I was in a much healthier and happier relationship, but I was still severely depressed. I was at a point in my life where settling down and starting a family was the societal norm, but it was far from what I actually wanted. My life seemed good on paper, but I had a persistent gut feeling something wasn't right. I ended up having a big depressive episode where I didn't speak to anyone, barely got out of bed, and felt completely distraught over my life. I felt like I never escaped the sadness and trauma from my childhood and early 20s, and now I was about to turn 30, and I couldn't come to terms with settling with this life. I had a decent job, but I hated it. I had a good boyfriend, but I had doubts. I was always struggling and stressing over money, plus I wasn't being my authentic self. I felt like I was conforming to be what everyone else wanted me to be. In 2020, I signed up for a friend's coaching course that focused on self-awareness and inner compassion that really opened my eyes to identify the issues I was struggling with in a safe space. I had no idea what my authentic self was. I didn't know my own hobbies, interests, passions, or have an ideal career I wanted. I couldn't trust my own instincts, be kind to myself, self-advocate, or set healthy boundaries. After completing her course, I began making big changes in my life. I ended my 3-year relationship and began doing my own research on mental health by reading self-help books, listening to podcasts, journaling, and I began seeking a therapist I could feel comfortable with. I had started taking classes at CCBC 12 years ago, but during that time, after I graduated high school, I had to begin working full-time and helping take care of my mom, so I never finished my first semester. Returning was something I had always wanted to do, but never thought I could do because I didn't have any way of financially supporting myself through school. I finally decided there was never going to be a perfect time to re-enroll in college, so 2 weeks before the start of the 2021 fall semester, I met with an advisor just to talk logistics and ended up leaving registered for 2 classes that day. Returning to CCBC was an important part of my mental health journey. I'm finally making time to do the things I want to do, putting myself first. Since I've started working on my mental health, I began communicating my struggles and sharing them with others. I don't feel ashamed or guilty about feeling a certain way anymore, and I speak my truth when I have the chance, which has helped me grow a lot. Specifically, my introduction speech for my communications class was on mental health and how it related to my life. Old me would have never done something so bold or honest with a room full of people, but I ended up being relieved with the positivity and judgment-free responses I received from other students. Some even shared their own struggles, which validates how conversations about mental health are important. Even if someone isn't diagnosed with a certain mental illness, these conversations and awareness affect everyone.
What role does mental health play in your life here at CCBC?
Well, it's been an important stepping stone on my personal journey. I've stepped out of my comfort zone and I'm focusing on my academics to get to the end goal of a career I am genuinely interested and passionate about, which helps me create a life that I'm proud and pleased with. And I'm sure I'll have many other experiences in my CCBC endeavors. Honestly, I feel like everyone's story is different, even though there's a lot of similarities, but I would just say that it will get better. It is a struggle and it does suck at times. And it may seem like it won't, but it does.